Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, thank you so much for having us here today. God, we are so grateful to be here this morning. It is good to be surrounded by people who care. It is wonderful to be in your presence, and regardless of what is going on in our lives at this moment, whether we are on top of the mountain or in the valley, we choose today to say, you are good. We choose today to focus our attention on you. Amen. And sing with us, Better Day.
Already. You know, one of the things that I've heard people say as we have shifted to different and various styles of worship is, I don't know when I'm supposed to stand up and I don't know when I'm supposed to sit down. Can somebody tell me that Well, let me tell you how we do that. You stand up when you feel like standing up, and you sit down when you feel like standing up. Instead of somebody telling you what you're supposed to do in worship, how about we just focus on the words that we are singing and that are being sung, and we really try to sing those from our heart. And if that means you sit down and you focus on those words, then sit down and focus on those words. And if that means you stand up and you tap your feet, then stand up and tap your feet. But it's not what somebody tells you you're supposed to do. It's what your spirit tells you you need to do to be able to make those words heartfelt. I have a few announcements to make today. Again, I will reiterate that our band is a bit under the weather today. Wouldn't you love to have your voice under the weather and be able to sound like that? Amen? Yes. So there is going to be one shift in one of the songs. They took down some keys, and they're going to be doing, instead of Holy, 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 they're going to be doing What a Beautiful Name. So that's just so that their voices can work the way that they want them to work this morning. Please be flexible with us in that. Also, today at 3 o'clock, pastor's classes begin. Pastor's classes are for those who are interested in learning more about baptism, interested in learning about this church and what this church believes maybe differently than other churches, learning to build the foundations of your faith no matter where you're at. We've had people that come year after year after year. We have people that say, hey, I want to consider baptism, so I would like to come and learn about that. There are all phases of life. Today will be spent on what is your purpose for being here today and how do we make this class most beneficial to you. So if you'd like to come at 3 o'clock and be a part of pastor's classes, we invite you to do so. We'll be in the library at 3 o'clock. We've had 2 to 3 people that have taken advantage of the, hey, I don't really have a small group and I'd like to have one program that we're doing. They're meeting at 9:15 in Fellowship Hall. It is never too late to join. Today, they went and visited with the 3M class. Next week, they will be visiting Pairs and Spares. So it's just an opportunity to visit all of our current classes, to see what they're teaching, who their leaders are, what they're studying, to see if that's a good fit, but to also see... If it's not a good fit, how we can get a small group started for you. We believe that those groups are very beneficial. They help us to connect with one another. They help us to grow in our faith. So you're welcome to join at 9:15 in Fellowship Hall any Sunday while we rotate around and visit those classes. Youth will meet tonight at 5:30, so be here for that if you are a youth. I also want to remind you that our Lenten Bible study kicked off with Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. We had a wonderful turnout for our Ash Wednesday service, but here's what you need to know. If you want to be a part of that, and I really hope that everybody in here desires to be a part of that, because it's just this church reading scripture each day, the same scripture each day, praying and an action challenge. I see some of the books here, so I'm going to grab one. There are two back in baskets back there. So there's the one that started through Wednesday, and it will go through this Wednesday, and then there's another one that says week 2 at the bottom. Here's the thing. You can come on Wednesday nights. We will have group discussion. There are six different leaders that are going to guide us through discussions just about your devotions, but you don't have to come on Wednesday nights. Grab one, read the scriptures, do the challenge. I think that all of us will benefit. It is journey to transformation. I have already beginning texts and emails saying thank you so much for providing that. It's been very beneficial in what I needed in my spiritual growth. So participate. That's all we ask you to do. In whatever way you want to do that, do that. We have a whole schedule of services coming up. Watch for those and be a part of all of those. And then make sure you pass the blue books down the row so we get all of your information. If you're here today, there are orange cards. If you have a prayer request, fill those out. If you've had any information changes. And then the last thing that I want to bring up before we give you a chance to greet each other is that today is our Gathering Grace ministry. Meals have been prepared. They've been divided in Fellowship Hall. So if you receive meals from that, please stop by Fellowship Hall on your way out of church and pick those up. The rest will be delivered and distributed as needed. So now, if you would please, take time to welcome one another into the presence of God this morning.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You
Good morning. I'll be reading Mark 10, verses 17 through 31, the rich man. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother and father." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first."
God bless the reading of his word. And if I can get the kids to come forward, please, for the children's moment. Come on up, guys. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You are our light, and we love it when you shine. Your smiles make us happy. Welcome. And I am so glad that you're here this morning, because I need your help. So you heard that verse, you heard that scripture, that story that Circe just read, and there was a line in there that I want to focus on, your mama, that's right. And the line in there said this: with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So you heard where it talked about a camel going through an eye of a needle. Saren, is that possible? It's probably not possible, is it? Is it possible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? All right, so I brought something today, and I want you to tell me if this is possible or if it is impossible. I didn't have a camel, so I couldn't bring my camel with me this morning, but I do have a balloon. So what I want to ask you, is it possible for me to thread this balloon onto this skewer? Would that be possible or impossible?
Impossible.
Impossible. How many of you, because the balloon would pop, is that what would happen to it? How many of you agree with her? Is that possible? Impossible. Everybody agrees with her? All right, so I'm going to take it. We're going to see if you're accurate. Oh, look, there it goes. So we're taking it through. We're going to see if we can get it all the way through. Was that impossible? Okay, I did this morning. It worked once, and it failed miserably the second time. So it is possible, but it's hard, okay? It's possible, but it's hard. And I showed you that for a reason. Let me tell you, there's a trick to this, okay? You want to know what the trick is, just so you can do it with your friends? It's kind of a science kind of thing. So there are two things. If you take the skewer and you put some dishwashing soap on it, like Dawn, it provides a polymer for the balloon. It reacts with the balloon, and it makes it less likely to pop. Now, less likely, but it still pops if you're not careful. So you can fix that by, see that little piece of tape on the end? So that provides even more resistance that makes it less to pop, less likely to pop. Okay, so I did this for a reason, okay? I was able to thread the balloon with the skewer, which is hard, but obviously possible. But there are some things that are impossible. You can take it, yes, if you're very careful with it. I'll give it to you, but I want you to walk with it carefully, okay? So here's the thing that is impossible. If Jesus says it's not possible, it's not possible, and we're wasting our time to try, all right? So when you go back today to the tables, I want you to remember that if Jesus says it's not possible, it's not possible. Circe, you want to come get this? Because I feel a lot better about sending this back there with you than with her. Maybe. Can I trust you with this? And you can pray. I'm going to send it with your mama, because it's really sharp, and it just makes me really nervous, all right? So I know you're so careful, but... I'm going to send that with you. Okay, so here's another thing. Back at the tables, there are, and I saw that some of you were already working on this, there are some pillows. They're pillows that are God Loves Me pillows. If you're not at the tables, you can go back and grab one and work at it at your seat. These are to help you with our random acts of kindness thing. So you can make one, and then I want you to give it to somebody who you think is really in need of just a little sharing of God's love, which is all of us, right? So make a pillow. You might need somebody to help you with tying it off. If you want to sit by somebody in church and let them help you with that while we do the sermon, then you can do that. Can you all stand up? I know that Brinley and Tucker are not with us today because they're sick again, so we need to lift them up. You're just getting well, right? And I know there are a lot of your friends at school that are sick. Is that right?
Yeah, so 13 kids gone.
All right. Well, let's bow our heads and let's lift up a word of prayer. Gracious God, I thank you for these. And I thank you for your word that makes us wiser about our faith and how we apply it to our lives. And so today, I pray that this lesson be one that you help us to learn from and apply to our lives. We lift up Brinley and Tucker and Ashley and Ben today, and we pray that you just help them to maneuver through this sickness that has had such a hold on them. We pray that you give them strength. We pray that you give them courage, and we pray that they know how much they're loved and how much they're missed. We lift up all of our friends at school and all of our friends from church that aren't with us because they have the flu or a cough or whatever, and we pray for healing on each and every one of them. God, right now, I pray that you bless these in Jesus' name. May you guide them along their journey of faith, and may they know every moment of every day how special they are and how much they are loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. There's your pillow. There's more at the tables. You can take one if you're super careful. And if I hear a loud pop back there, I'm going to know where it came from. All right? Okay, we move into the time now of joys and concerns. And as I mentioned with the children, I know that we have lots of people who are out sick. That is a big concern, not only for our children, for Ireland and for our babies, but also for our seniors, actually for all of us. So I know that as disciples, I received a notice from the church, our denomination this week, that just reminded us that how we react to these crises are to believe in the power of prayer. So don't forget, along with washing your hands and doing things that are, you know, beneficial, don't forget the benefit and the added benefit of praying for those who are affected by those viruses and other things. So are there other joys and concerns this morning that you would like to have listed? Yes, Miss Carol. It's hard to know right now the difference and if you're sick or if it's allergies, because the allergy alerts are up so high. So keep those things in your prayers as well. Are there others? Joys and concerns? Yes. Thank you, Pat. And it is really important, you know, in a world where we hear stories about the evil and the bad things that happen, it's so important that we remember that good things also happen, and we are surrounded by good people. It's a blessing. I saw another one back there. Yes, Jada. Wow.
So she was definitely being much children, so it's a true blessing.
Thank you for that. Yes, Topanga? Okay, we'll lift those up in prayer. Are there others? Let's join our hearts and our minds then, please, in prayer. Gracious God, we gather, sometimes distracted by all of the bad news, and we forget that there's also good news. We thank you for those who attempt and do the right thing and for the joy that that brings to others. We thank you for those who have experienced your protection and your watchful hand and your healing. We lift up also those who have suffered, those who suffer the loss of a loved one, especially this one who has lost a loved one at such a young age. We lift up those who mourn, and those who are lonely, and those who are depressed, and those who are anxious, in a world side by side with those who celebrate and those who rejoice. And God, it's just so difficult sometimes to maneuver the highs and the lows of life and do it together, side by side. So we pray for your wisdom and the right words to say at the right time and the right place. And more than anything else, we pray that we can set all of those things aside and just know that the important thing is that we be there with and for one another. God, again, we thank you for the privilege of joining here this morning with the confidence that you are in this place and you draw us to here for a purpose. And so we pray that your good and perfect will be accomplished in this sanctuary today. God, we are divided in so many ways, and we ask your forgiveness in the ways that we are a part of that divisiveness. And we also ask that as we accomplish this one simple act in unison, you hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I know Clifton's ready to give the call to give. I forgot to make one announcement. If you have one of those giving boxes for the Week of Compassion, you need to bring that. You can put it on the altar if you have it today, or you can drop it in the offering plate. If you forgot yours today, it's okay. We will get it to where it's supposed to go when you get it to us, but with confidence, know that as you return those boxes for Week of Compassion, we'll get them where they're supposed to go.
Good morning. This morning's call to give scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we approach this time, we ask that you would give from your heart.
we have entered into the season of Lent, and to avoid the assumption that everybody in here is familiar with that tradition or what that means, I'm going to give you just a brief explanation, because denominations across the board celebrate Lent, but not every church recognizes this season and what it is. And so I want to make sure that if you're here and you're not familiar with that tradition, that this makes sense to you. So we began the season of Lent with our Ash Wednesday service, which was this Wednesday. Lent is a 40-day period. If you start with Easter and you count backwards on the calendar, not counting Sundays, you would come to Ash Wednesday. And that's what kicks off the season of Lent. It is a time of fasting and prayer. It's a time of scripture reading and meditation. It's a time of service and giving. That's why we've coordinated with our random acts of kindness. And I want to remind you that if you are doing those, please stick that on a note, not so that you get recognition. We don't want your name on it. But we want inspiration. We want to know that people are being a part of that. And we want to know, we want ideas from you and what you're doing. So stick those random acts of kindness on the board for us out there. But that's what the season of Lent is. It's based on the 40 days that Jesus went into the wilderness before he went to the cross. It was a time when he prayed and fasted. And we believe that if it was something that Jesus did, then it's something that we can learn from and follow also. It's also a time of preparation so that when we get to Easter, our hearts and our minds are ready to receive the fullness of the glory of God. And we do that by remembering that we all die. Now, that sounds so morbid, and death is something that we like to deny. It's something like we like to pretend doesn't exist. It's something we certainly don't spend a lot of time talking about or thinking about. We would rather think about life and living life to the fullness. But it's important for us to live life to the full that we recognize that we are all here temporarily, all of us. That life is temporary and this time is a valuable treasure that we are to use wisely. And in order to use it to the best extent, we need to remember that it's not forever here. We're not here in this place forever. We also spend time remembering that as hard as we try, we all fall short. We all sin. It's a part of all of our lives. We like to pretend that that's something somebody else does. We like to pretend like, especially when we're in church, like we've eliminated that. But we know if we are truthful with ourselves and with others, sin is a part of all of our lives. And so part of the time that we're given here is to deal with sin, to eliminate those things that pull us away from God, those blockades, those barriers, those things that keep us from being the best that we can be, and to think about the things that help us to be our best selves and add those things to our schedule. So for Lent here at First Christian Church, our theme is I Surrender All. We love the song. We like the words to the song. We don't necessarily like to live out the song. Surrender is an easy word to say. It's a hard thing to do when it comes right down to it. And so we kick off today with surrendering possibilities based on the scripture that you heard from Mark chapter 10. And so it starts out today with Jesus on a journey. And if you remember last week, Jesus was on the way. He was along the way. Following Jesus, you guys, requires movement, all right? It's not something that we can become stagnant or stand still or get stuck. It is about moving forward. So one of the questions during this time of Lent is, am I moving forward? Am I progressing in my faith? Am I stronger today than I was yesterday? Am I doing something positive today that I wasn't doing yesterday? Am I making forward movement? And hopefully in the right direction, but not standing still. We need to remember that God is on the move. And a man ran up to him, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, this is significant to me because we can be in the right position, we can ask the right questions, we can say the right things, and we can still be wrong. All right? And that's important truth to wrap your mind around. It's a little bit scary, but it's important because it's not necessarily about what we say. It's not necessarily about what we do. We also have to question the motive or the intent behind those things. I thought that I just love when the same message comes in a different way from different sources when you didn't plan it to be that way. And if you've done our Lent devotional, you know the very first study that we did, our very first devotion, asked us to do a check about those things. Are your motives right? Is what you are hoping to accomplish, is your heart when you're doing those things, is it right? And again, it sounds so easy, and yet we all know that it's complicated. Last week, I said that one of the things that had impacted me was a minister who said, you know, Jesus cannot be a good teacher and be everything that he claims to be. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God in human flesh. He claimed to be Savior of the world. He claimed to be Messiah. He cannot make all of those claims and be a good teacher. Those don't go, they're conflicting, all right? To just be a good teacher, but that part not be true, it doesn't make sense. So Jesus either has to be all that he claims to be, everything, or he cannot be a good teacher, all right? We need to understand that. He's either a lunatic and a liar, or he truly is God in human flesh, but he can't be both, and that changes everything. That perspective about who Jesus is changes our mind about how we respond to him. And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And I love this, because if you remember last week, we also talked about our purpose is to remove the veil from Jesus' face, to help from God's face, to help people to get a better, clearer view of God and who he is, to be able to receive God's love fully and totally and completely. Our job, each and every one of us, purpose in life is to do that, to help people that we are, our family, our friends, our community, to see God in a better way. And here we see Jesus doing that exact thing, to pointing a finger to God. He draws attention to God and he gives us the perfect example to follow. If you remember, I said that Lent is that time when we focus on the things that pull us away from God and eliminate those things, and we think about the things that help us to get a clearer picture to God, feel closer to God, and to draw near to God, and we add those things in hoping that as we do that in our personal lives, we can help others to do likewise. Scripture says, you know the commandments. You don't murder, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't bear false witness, you don't cheat anybody, you honor your father and mother. And he said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these since I was young." Well, first off, I question that, because the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So maybe he was better than the rest of us. It's doubtful. But I don't think he was seeing something in himself that Jesus had the ability to see. But I love it that Jesus said, the Bible said Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. So Jesus knew that he wasn't all that he said that he was, but he loved him anyway. And that's really an important truth to understand and to hold on to, because Jesus' response is a little bit harsh. And we need to know that that response came from love. What he says to this rich young man is not to put him in his place, not to make him feel less than, not to make him feel unworthy, but to help him know that he is worthy. This is a statement made in love. And he says, well, you lack one thing. You see, you're doing all the right things, so you say, but there's something missing. You're not doing those things wholeheartedly for God. You see, just like this rich young ruler, we can't go through the motions. This isn't a game that we're playing here. We have to think about why we're doing the things that we're doing and why we say the things that we say. And if the answer is not, we are acting in love. If the answer is not, we are speaking in love, then our motives need to be adjusted. One of the reasons that the church has given Christianity such a bad name is because we act and we leave love in the background. We speak and we leave love out of our words. Our motives must always be to point a finger to a loving, caring, compassionate, kind God. And Jesus uses this as a teachable moment. The man walks away, turns his back. He was shocked and he was grieving because he had a whole lot of stuff. You know, the more stuff that you have, the harder it is to leave that and to turn towards God. The more things that are important to you, the less important the things of God seem. And Jesus turns to the disciples and he said, listen, it is really hard for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are confused by those words. And Jesus says, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for somebody rich to enter the kingdom of God. And maybe your response to that is the same as this rich young ruler, to be shocked. I think that's what it is intended to do. And the church, guys, has gone to great lengths to explain this away. Because the church and individuals that make up the church, we kind of like that name it and claim it gospel. We like the prosperity message. We want to be blessed by God. We want to have lots of stuff and have it line up with our faith and our belief. And so we've gone to great lengths to try to explain this one away. One interpretation says, well, you know, in the Byzantine Greek, there is only one letter difference in the word camel and in the word rope. So it meant to say rope. It's harder for a rope to enter through a needle than a camel. Okay, well, it might be less hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, but it's still impossible for a rope to go through the eye of a needle. So one being less easy to explain or less difficult or less impossible does not negate what Jesus is saying. Another story is this, and I thought this one was a little bit comical. They say, there is this tiny little gate in Jerusalem. It's a really low gate. Maybe you've heard this story. And so for a camel to go through that really low gate, he has to remove his burden, he has to get down on his knees, and he has to scooch through the low gate. So you see, to enter into the kingdom of God, you need to remove your burden, you need to get down on your knees, and you need to work your way through the gate. Well, that's just really great, other than it's not true. There was not ever a gate like that that's been able to find. That's not historically correct. It's a great story, but as Christians, we don't need to make up stories to explain the Word of God. The Word of God is the explanation for itself. What God was saying was, it is impossible. Let's take that for what it is. It's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom. So maybe in your heart you're saying, well, then maybe the kingdom of God is not for me. We have to understand what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is that ushering of heaven to earth. It's that bringing people into this knowledge and understanding that the priorities, the principles, the things that matter in the kingdom of God are not the things that the world says are important. And here's what this scripture teaches, and it's not anything to do with money, I don't believe. I believe what it says is, it is impossible for man to wrap his mind around that truth. And then comes the good news. But with God, all things are possible. To grasp that understanding on your own, it's not going to happen. But if you're open-minded, open-hearted, open-spirited to God doing that work, the worst of us, the lowest of us, the least of these, the furthest from, our least likely candidate, it is not impossible. God loves us all, and God's intent is to draw us all into the fullness of knowledge and the fullness of relationship with Him. They were astounded And they said to one another, well then, who can be saved? And Jesus looks at them and says, for mortals it's impossible, but not for God. With God all things are possible. Please don't leave here today without an understanding of that truth. I am praying that the Holy Spirit speak into every heart and every mind, and that you leave here, if nothing else, with that one truth. Salvation is not accomplished by works or achievements or anything man can do. It is a gift. It's a gift from God for all to receive, not those of us here gathered today, but those are out, maybe hung over from the bar last night. Everybody, it is a free gift for all to receive. The benefit that you have being gathered here this morning is you hear and receive the good news, and then you get the glorious honor of taking that news out to the world. That's the benefit of being gathered here this morning. And Peter says, well, look, Jesus, we've left it all behind. We left our families and our fortunes, and we gave it all up to follow you. We left our houses and our brothers and our sisters and our mother and our children and our fields, and here we are following you. And Jesus says to him, Peter, anybody that gives up anything for the kingdom of God is going to be richly rewarded and also persecuted. You know, those stories that we heard during the time of, my mind just went blank, enlightenment, what is it called? Epiphany, the time of epiphany, about the highs and lows of life. They're still being reinforced today. Life is filled with ups and downs, with highs and lows, with mountains and with valleys. That's life. We're not doing it right when everything is going our way and doing it wrong when everything is not. That's an old and a corrupted theology, and it's just not true. God is with us every step of the way, in the highs and in the lows and in everything in between. He has not turned his back or abandoned us at any part of life, no matter how hard it is. He's also not giving us his favor when things are going good. That's a corrupt theology. In fact, the Bible tells us that in this world, we will have trouble. But don't leave out the part that says, behold, I've overcome the world. You see, we get so discouraged with these, with the reminders that Lent is about suffering and remembering suffering, remembering death, remembering sacrifice, and all of those things are a part of the journey to the cross. I read something this week that said, you know, Christianity is the only religion that has a suffering Christ, that has a suffering deity, but in that suffering, the things that we believe hard things bring, compassion and empathy and caring, are the things that we believe our God provides for us. Isn't that beautiful? That we have a God that doesn't just throw us into life and expect us to walk through it, but a God that left the realms of heaven and walked through life and experienced those things so that you could know he understands your deepest pain, your deepest sorrow, your deepest shortcoming, your deepest fault, your deepest failure, your deepest regret. And is there any greater promise? And in this age to come, eternal life. You see, this isn't all there is. There's also the reminder that, yes, he will be persecuted. Yes, he'll die on a cross, but he will rise again after 3 days. We will rise again. If we follow in the path of Jesus Christ, yes, we'll be persecuted. Yes, we will suffer. Yes, it will be hard, but we will rise above. Victory that was his is also ours, each and every one. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I want to share this one last story that I heard a minister. It's not my story, it's another minister's, but he was sharing a story when he was preaching on this text about a family. who sat out in his congregation. It was a refugee family who had come from very desperate situation and circumstances. They had lived in a country of persecution. They were Christians, and they were living in a place that persecuted Christians. And while their family was gathered at mealtime, praying and doing a Bible study, a soldier broke in, held them at gunpoint, and they thought that they were going to have to give their lives for their faith. Gun backfired, and at the same time the gun backfired, an explosion went off outside, and this family was able to escape. And they were able to get on a boat and get to the United States. They left their home. They left the rest of their family. They left all of their belongings. They came to the States with nothing except for the clothes that they had on their backs. And he said, as I preached this sermon and as I got to this last line, the first will be last and the last will be first, they were right in my eyesight. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, because they deserve to be first. These who have nothing, these who have left it all, these who have given all, these who have sacrificed all, these who have been persecuted, thank you that they are going to receive 100-fold for what they gave. Thank you that there's a place where they will be lifted up to first, where they will be championed for the cause. You guys, I got to ask you the question. Are you working for the benefit of others? Or are you working for your own greatness? Is your desire to make sure that the others, no matter where they are in life, no matter what their status financially or popularity-wise or socially, or are you working that they get a full picture of who God is so that they can step into the fullness of life? Or are you still following like the confused disciples saying, hey, God, can I be first? Like, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm preaching from the pulpit. Hey, God, I've been reading my Bible every day. Can I be first? Because if that's your motive, it might be a good thing to do, but with the wrong idea. We have to look out for others. Church, our hearts need to be poured out for the least of these with hopes that we'll be the ones celebrating and saying, yay team, when they finally receive their first.
I'd like to begin our time at the table with a question. What is your wealth? Do you think that money and possessions are the only things that keep us from entering the kingdom of God? Well, I can think of several things that I can place great importance on. I'll bet you can think of some too. My list would include family, work, although I've retired, there's still always work, church, for me, music, once upon a time, school. I'm sure I've missed a few, so feel free to add your own. Can any of these really good things become like the great wealth of the rich young man in today's scripture? Can church, for example, become more important than living into God's kingdom? Think about it. Can it? I think we are very good at making things terribly important, maybe so much so that they can separate us from God. So here we are at Christ's table. Here we can drop all those things that keep us away from God, and for a few minutes, maybe we do enter the kingdom. For can we eat in remembrance of Jesus without being aware that his life and teachings are the way into the kingdom? If we step into the kingdom often enough, maybe we won't forget the way back when all those important things crowd in. So won't you come to dinner? Jesus invites us all to join him. It doesn't matter who you are, how you are, whether you've been baptized or whether you have not, if you did or said something you regret or that you feel guilty about, whether or not you are a member here or a member of a church anywhere or not, you are loved. You are a precious child of God. Really, you and me. On the night that Jesus was arrested, he celebrated the Passover feast with his disciples. During supper, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Eat this bread. It is my body broken for you." After supper, he took the cup. He took a cup of wine, and he blessed it. And he said to them, "This is my blood poured out for you for forgiveness of sins. Whenever you meet together, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, Christ calls us to his table. So come, eat, drink, remember, enter the kingdom.
Church has gone to great lengths to explain how this salvation comes. If you just say the right words, do the right prayer, follow in what I say and the way that I say it, the way I say it, then you can earn salvation. But the reality is, the way to salvation is following in the words of Jesus and surrendering all. Well, wait a minute, Sandra, my future, my income, my house, my family, everything that I own, yes. And the thing is, if we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then we know that what he says will be true. It will be returned to us 100-fold with greater blessings and will usher us into life eternal. Would you stand as we sing, I Surrender All? You're going to hear this song a lot over the course leading up to Easter. Sing it and try to remind your spirit of its meaning.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Forsake and take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee.
Loving God, may it be the words of our mouth, may it be the actions that we live, and most importantly, may it be